Today is the appearance day or celebration of the appearance day of Srivas Thakur. So we're going to speak about him this morning during the Bhagavatam class. Probably we won't get to the Bhagavatam, but it's important to commemorate, celebrate the different appearance days of great Vaishnavas and especially members of the Pancha Tattva. So, Hare Krishna. We all worship the Pancha Tattva. So, let me explain what tattva is. It's very interesting. Actually, it's interesting. Vridhananda Maharaj describes tattva as meaning that. So just add an H. So that which is, basically. So what do I mean, that which is? Is Fiji a tattva? No. An eight is. What do I mean by that? Is that probably in a little while, a few hundred years, Fiji won't exist. And a few hundred years ago, Fiji didn't exist. It was called the Cannibal Islands instead of Fiji. So now it's called Fiji. And you chant your national hymn, Fiji, oh Fiji, I love you, Fiji. And 500 years from now, it will be God knows what. You'll be chanting something different in a different language. Not Fijian, not English, not Chinese, not Russian. So it's not a tattva. Because Nasato Vijite Bhavo, Nabhavo Vijite Sakha, Ubayara Kutvisho Antas 20th. Vitashvi, the sages think and see that those things that are temporary, not real. In other words, is Fiji real? In one sense, yes. It's there. It's not just like an illusion that Fiji is here or the coronavirus is here. It's not an illusion, but if you think of it as something that's, eternal, important, something that you need to meditate on, some eternal spiritual truth, no, it isn't. It's all temporary. That's the nature of this material world. It's like a river that you step into, and the river changes. You can't step into the same river twice. It keeps flowing. So you can't say that. Or the body, for example. Let's use the body, for example. The body is continually changing. The cells are changing. So you really don't have the same body you had when you were a little baby. It's not the same body. Different cells are different. Maybe a few cells, like some nerve cells, not nervous cells. They may be the same, but basically, skin cells, it's peeling off all the time. So it's different. So the body's not tattva. But what the body is composed of is a tattva. What's the material energy? Material energy. Sometimes it's manifest, bhutva, kaliyate, sometimes unmanifest, but it's there. Unmanifest means pradana, manifest means what we have right here. So, material energy is a tattva. So you got all these different tattvas, things that continue to exist in categories, and I describe as categories, internal categories. And so you got Vishnu, Shakti, Prabhupada, Shakti, Akshita, Prabhupada, Sangha, the Lord Shakti's are tattvas. And so you have the internal potency, the external potency, and Jiva tattva. And then also you have the Vishnu tattva. It's another tattva. Vishnu tattva always is there. And then you have a special tattva called Siva tattva, which is sort of like in between Vishnu and Jiva. Really interesting. So it's very important to understand these tattvas and the qualities of the tattvas so that one doesn't get bewildered. For example, sometimes people say, not in harmony, they say that we did not exist before. We, the Jiva soul, was born from the Brahma Jyoti. mother of Brahma Jyoti. Ah, Machoti. Jyoti is a female. So, but Brahma Jyoti is not a female. So, sometimes people say that we were born. Well, but that violates the tattva, you know, the understanding of the tattva, because the jiva tattva is eternal. Mamli vamsa jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana, right? Sanatana is eternal. So, jayate mute bhakta sananda bhakta. So there's so many statements. The jiva soul is eternal. But if you think the jiva soul comes into being and you don't understand the tattva, or if you think that the jiva soul and the Vishnu and Vishnu tattva are the same, that's also, you don't understand the tattva. It's called nirashesha, that you don't understand the differences, you know, between the different tattvas. They're all different. All of them have a special. All right, so let's get on with the Panchatattva. That was a brief introduction. So, Panchatattva Vikam Krishna, Bhakta Rupa Svarupakam, Bhakta Avataram, Bhakta Yam, Mami, Bhakti Shaktakam. That's from Chaitanya Charitamrita. That we worship the Panchatattva. Now, when the Lord appears, he always appears with as the Panchatattva. Even though, you know, when Krishna appeared over 5,000 years ago, we don't have a definite description of Panchatattva, but there is a Panchatattva. When Krishna appeared, what happened? There was Krishna, right? And then the first expansion of Krishna is who? Does anyone know? No one knows. Balaram! You know, Vasudeva is a further expansion. That's it. Second, Vasudeva Santrasham Prajuna Nanruda. There's the four Chaturvyuha expansions. So, that's that. So, and then also, when Krishna appeared, you also had it's a Krishna expansions, Mahavishnu, Sarasiva, Vaitacharya, and then Gadadhar, because that's Krishna's pastime, that's Srimati Radharani. And Shribas means all the little coward boys. So you actually have this Panchatattva everywhere. And even you have in Lord Ram's pastimes.
Right.
Every time. Because when Krishna goes somewhere, he doesn't go alone. He always takes his, as the prophet said, entourage. That means the people who travel with him. So like Lord Ram, you have Lakshman, and then further expansions, Mark, Shatrughna, and then got Sita Devi, the eternal boat, Zina, and Hanuman, who is Jiva soul, right? It's interesting. So Panchatattva is something that's just always there in every time Krishna appears. So, getting back to the Panchatattva that we're normally familiar with, that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda, Dvaitacharya, Gadadhara Pandit Goswami, and Srivastava Thakur. So, Lord Chaitanya, of course, is Krishna himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahayanya, Krishna Guru Radharani. Lord Nityananda, Balaram, Poila Natai. Then you have Advaitacharya, who is, it's interesting, he's described as Sadashiva, and also Mahavishnu. So the original manifestation of, the reason he's described like that, the original manifestation of Sadashiva, that's Vishnu Tattva. And that Sadashiva becomes, transported, to use the exact word, to the material realm through the glance of the Mahavishnu, Saikshita. You understand? Saikshita means he glances. And then that becomes the Lord Shiva that we're familiar with, Shambhu. Shambhu, Shambhu, Shambhu. We can all dance with that enthusiastic. Shambhu, 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 Shambhu. We love Rich. And he is the greatest Vaishnava. And then after that is, of course, in the Panchatattva that appeared with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's Radha Pandita Goswami, who is Radharani. And to complete the Panchatattva, that's Srivas Thakur, who is Narada Muni. And the interesting thing is, we're also included in the Panchatattva. Remember the Panchatattva? No. I mean, the category. You understand? We say, Jashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shikwaita Gadadha Shivasati Gora Bhakta Vrinda. So, we get to be part of the mantra. Panchatattva mantra. Category. You know, if we're actually bhaktas, that we have to see. Like one time a devotee wrote to Srila Prabhupada describing himself, not Prabhupada, but the devotee as a devotee. Prabhupada said a devotee never thinks of himself as a devotee. A devotee thinks of himself as very fallen or aspiring servants of the devotee. So, let's talk about Srivas Thakur. I have my notes here. So, Srivas Thakur was far older than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was the friend of Jagannath Mishra. Jagannath Mishra is the father of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, of course, he had two brothers. Five brothers. There were five brothers. Narada Muni was Srivas, and one of his brothers, Sri Ram, was actually the incarnation of Parvata Muni. Parvata Muni is the one who accompanies Narada Muni all the time. And Srivas's wife, Malini, was Krishna's nurse in the pastimes in Braj. And that was Ambika. Ambika was Krishna's nurse. And Srivas Thakur's niece was Narayani. And Narayani, of course, was in Krishna's pastimes, was the sister of Ambika. And she was also the mother of, who, does anyone know? Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was considered to be the Vyasa of Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Chaitanya Bhagavat. So these are all great persons. These are Nitya Siddha devotees. Now, sometimes when the Nitya, just a little information, when Nitya Siddha devotees appear, sometimes it appears that they weren't Krishna conscious when they were born. I mean, I was just reading about Bhaktivinoda Thakur's early history, and he was basically, he had a lot of Shakta influence and other things like that. Maybe there's an indication that he ate meat when he was young. So sometimes Krishna puts the devotees in situations so it seems like they're just becoming Krishna conscious in this lifetime. However, Krishna does that for various purposes. First of all, to teach us, to inspire us, that we can actually become Krishna conscious. And so this is part of his pastime. For example, even Haridas Thakur, he was Lord Brahma, and he was born in a Muslim family, and he became the Namacharya. And it's described that he was not only considered to be an incarnation of Pallad Maharaj, but also an incarnation of Lord Brahma. And some acharyas describe that he became born in such a condition because he had committed the offense of stealing Krishna's coward boys and calves. You don't want to do that. That would be quite dangerous. But this is, these are all pastimes. So, therefore, when dealing with great devotees, we never want to think about their past that was apparently non-devotional. You never want to think about that. You never want to discuss it. I mean, you can be aware of it. It can be inspiring. But you don't use it as a means to minimize, denigrate these great pure devotees. Very, very important. Anyway, Srivas Thakur definitely showed himself to be a pure devotee from his very birth. So, as I mentioned before, he was the friend of Jagannath Mishra, and Malini was the friend of Sachi Mata, who was the mother of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Malini cared for Sachi Mata when she was pregnant with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, we know when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was young, before he took initiation, he, in one sense, almost would be considered the enemy of the devotees. Because the devotees, they were preaching Krishna consciousness, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was expert in nyaya. Nyaya means like logic, reasoning, argumentation. It's one of the six darshans. And if one gets too much into logic and reason, one becomes follower of what's called Vaisheshika philosophy, which is like atomism, just analyzing things. Anyway, so Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acted like a nyayaka, that is someone who's simply into logic and reason, and he would attack the devotees verbally and defeat them. And the Vaishnavas got very upset, and Srivas Thakur in one point became so upset with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he said, to Lord Chaitanya, and this is a direct quote, "O crest jewel of the arrogant, do you know the purpose of life?" You know, he was Lord Chaitanya just arguing, acting, in one sense, very, you know, externally, arrogantly, you know, just defeating everybody, defeat you, and everybody was afraid of talking to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he would defeat them. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he replied to Srivas Thakur, "By your mercy, I will understand everything. And then I will become such a great devotee that even Lord Brahma, the demigods, will worship me." So Srivas Thakur was thinking, boy, he's arrogant. You know, what pride this guy has. And he and the other devotees would pray for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to become a devotee, because they thought if Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could become a devotee, then basically they'd have a great preacher who could spread Krishna consciousness. Just like Srila Prabhupada also emphasized very much this university preaching. Why do you emphasize university preaching? Not that he was more compassionate to people who had a higher degree, Cambridge or whatever. Because, you know, higher degree sometimes means PhD, means piled higher and deeper. Piled higher and deeper means something that, anyway, something that's in the latrine. You know, it just makes you more proud. Janmaishvarya Shrutasya Shivir Yenabandha Adhapama. You become proud because of good birth, so-called good birth, because of wealth, because of beauty, and because of learning. So, anyway, so Prabhupada wanted a lot of devotees educated so they could preach Krishna consciousness. They could preach to what Prabhupada considered to be the Shrestas, the leaders of society. So it's very important to approach people in the universities, doctors and nurses. They were okay. So, we got some doctors. Anyway, so Lord Chaitanya was like that. He definitely had a PhD. And they thought he could really preach. So eventually, after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took initiation, because Prabhupada, Lord Chaitanya was showing us the importance of initiation. Actually, just reading Bhaktivinoda Thakur's biography yesterday, it was very interesting, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes his autobiography. Autobiography means you write a biography about yourself. And he writes in a letter to his son. Actually, the whole autobiography is in the context of his letter to his son, Lalit Prasad Thakur. You've heard of it before? Very interesting. He describes that he knew, and this is all pastime. Don't criticize Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He describes that he was unable to give up eating meat until he took initiation. And then he had the strength to do it. Wow. So that pastime is teaching us the importance of connecting to Krishna through the spiritual master, because one gets spiritual strength by doing so. So Bhaktivinoda is teaching us something. You know, whether he was attached to the immediate, it's not really important. Because he's a pure devotee, interested in a devotee. But he's teaching us the importance, like Lord Chaitanya taught us the importance of taking initiation. As soon as he took initiation, he immediately manifested his pure devotion towards Krishna, towards himself, of course. That's really egotistic. But Krishna can be egotistic because he can have a big ego, because he is big. You can't have any big ego because you are 1/10,000 the tip of the hair. Right? That's why it's not good for you. But if you are the whole universe, in a sense, it's okay. Brag about yourself. It's okay. Look at yourself in the mirror. Or it's like Krishna looked at himself in the lake and he thought, who's this beautiful guy? That's okay. Or even take the position of your devotee so you can appreciate your own beauty. I'm just thinking about this. Imagine if two people were married and the husband says to the wife, I want to act like you so I can see how wonderful I am. Or the wife says to the husband, I'm going to put on a dhoti and act like you and just look at my picture, you know. So that's what Krishna does, isn't it? He acts like Radharani, feels like Radharani, so he can be a big egotist, appreciate his own beauty. But that's okay. So anyway, so after initiation, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited himself as a great devotee, not only as a great devotee, but as Lord Vishnu, as Krishna. So what happened is that right after he took initiation, he said to Srivastava, and not only said, he went into Srivastava's house and sat on his altar. Quite radical. Can you imagine some devotee in the city with Radha Gopi Bihari on their altar saying, I'm the person you've been worshiping. He probably beat him up, you know, called the police or something like that. But Srivastava saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sit on the altar, and he said to Srivastava, I'm the person you've been worshiping all along. But Lord Chaitanya showed four arms. If you can do that, you can sit on the altar there. And there's a beautiful prayer that I'm going to read right now that Srivastava offered at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here's the prayer. My obeisance is at the lotus feet of the support of the entire universe, Vishwambar, whose bodily color is like that of a newly arrived rain cloud, and whose garments are the color of a thunderbolt. My obeisance is at the lotus feet of the son of Sachi, who is bedecked with ornaments and peacock feathers and a garland of gunjamala. My obeisances at the lotus feet of the pupil of Ganga Das, the beauty of whose lotus face conquers that of 10 million moons. My obeisances at your lotus feet, you who carry the buffalo horn, stick, and flute. The four Vedas have proclaimed you to be the son of Nanda. Unto you, my dear Lord, my obeisances I offer again and again. Today, my birth, my activities, my everything has become successful. Today, my very existence has been crowned with the greatest auspiciousness. Today, the race of my forefathers has finally borne fruit, and my house, which was also their house, has become blessed. Today, the great fortune of my eyes is completely beyond calculation, because I have been able to see that person whose lotus feet are served by the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. So here's some stories about Srivastava. wonderful stories. As I mentioned before, Narayani was his niece. Narayani was staying at his house. And as I mentioned before, Narayani was the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would visit Srivas Thakur's house, Narayani was only 4 years old. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to her, chant Hare Krishna. And actually fed her the remnants of his food. And she rolled on the ground in ecstasy and started crying. And because of that, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, she became the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur. And everyone who was close to Srivas Thakur became a pure devotee. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed Srivas Thakur's servant, whose name was Dukhi. Dukhi means unhappy. And he says, your new name is Sukhi, happy. And Srivas Thakur even had a tailor, that means someone who sells clothes, who was a meat eater. And Srivas Thakur brought him before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srivas Thakur told Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu how dear he was to him because he had done service. And Lord Chaitanya gave him pure love of God. Amazing how this happened. So, most famous story happened in the Srivas Angam. Srivas Angam is the house of Srivas Thakur, which is close to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance place. Anybody who's been to Mayapur will know where it is. You go to Lord Chaitanya's appearance place, at Srivas Angam, and Advaita Bhavan, Advaita Charya's house, right nearby. So, it was at Srivas Angam that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would have his all-night kirtans. And during these kirtans, he was so absorbed in ecstasy that Srivas Thakur didn't want to break Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy. So what happened during one of the kirtans was that Srivas Thakur's son died. And naturally, Srivas Thakur's wife, Malini, and all the other ladies, they were doing what? Crying. And that's normal. Ladies have several businesses, crying and combing hair. Decorating. So they were crying. And Srivas Thakur turned around and he said, why are you crying? And they said, your son is dying. And Srivas Thakur said, better stop crying. Because I don't want you to interfere with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. If you keep crying, I'll give you something really to cry about. Which is also interesting because here in Fiji sometimes, if a family member dies, then they say, well, we can't chant. You know, for a few days. But that's the time to chant, you rascals. That's the time to do devotional service, not to give it up. Or they had this thing called Pita Paksh. You heard of that? No. That in 2 weeks, you just worship your forefathers by offering them cigarettes. Or whatever they like to eat. You know, nonsense. You chant more during those times. Not less during those times. So anyway, so Srivas Thakur, he didn't say, stop the chanting, let's go to the funeral. He said, keep chanting. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finishes kirtan, Lord Chaitanya said, something happened here. Tell me about it. And Srivas Thakur said, no, something little. You know, jiva soul, someone died, you know, no problem. You know, we think death is such a problem. It's not a problem. It just means you're going somewhere else. Isn't it? Auspicious. Of course, for the non-devotees, it's a problem. Because where they're going is Yamaraj. So we lament, oh my God. Therefore, if someone who's eating meat, we basically say, you know, don't live and don't die. But for a brahmachari, die immediately. That's a danger of being a brahmachari. You can't rest like that. And for a devotee, it's you can either live or die. It doesn't matter. So anyway, so what happened is Lord Chaitanya said, where's the boy? So he went back to where the little kid was. And he put his hand on the child's chest and he said, "Why have you left?" The child sat up. He said, "Many, many births I have passed in this world. So many fathers I have had. It's all mine." Anyway, "so many fathers I had. And now I died during Kirtan. So let me go." So he went back. It was a very auspicious leaving the body. So Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda said to Srivas Thakur at that time that from now on, we will be your sons. And they really acted like that. In fact, it's described that Lord Nityananda especially acted like the son of Srivas Thakur, because when he would go over to Srivas Thakur's house, he would actually sit on Srivas Thakur's wife, Malini, her lap. You know, he was tall, 2 meters tall, you know, that's not small, probably even a little more than that. He was a grown man, you know, he was older than Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And she was a lady. Can you imagine one of your ladies, like tall man sitting? And it is described he would even drink the breast milk of Srivas Thakur's wife. I mean, really amazing. The relationship between Lord Nityananda and Srivas Thakur, Srivas Thakur's wife. So, another time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srivas Thakur never got a job or did anything to make money. I'm not suggesting you do that, but he is a special person. So Lord Chaitanya asked Srivas Thakur, "How do you make a living? You know, how do you support? You have a big family, you have a niece here, Narayani, you have your brothers, you know, what are you doing?" And Srivas Thakur said, "I have a 1-2-3 technique for making money." He said, "If I don't take prasad for 3 days, I'm going to tie a water pot to my legs and jump in the Ganges." In other words, commit suicide. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to him, "Don't worry. Even if Lakshmi has to go begging, you will never go hungry." Pretty interesting. Don't try that technique. We don't believe in suicide. In India, the standard way of committing suicide is to go in the river. So don't do that either. Not the Paraquat, not the river. It's very sinful. You become a rakshasa, Rama rakshasa. Don't do it. Don't even think about it. This body belongs to Krishna. It doesn't belong to you. It's meant to be used in Krishna's service. Another time, and here's another story about Srivas Thakur. In the Srivas Angam, during the kirtans, nobody was allowed to come in unless they were a pure devotee. They gave a pure devotee test at the door, like a coronavirus test. You know, see if they had any material virus. I don't know what they did. So unless they were a pure devotee. So sometimes people got in, like Srivas Thakur's mother-in-law got in. And she was hiding behind the curtain because she wanted to see the kirtan of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hear the kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept chanting and said, "There's no ecstasy today. What's happening? Something's wrong. Someone's here." And they found her and they threw her out the door. Another time, doesn't mean mother-in-laws are bad. Some of them are quite good. So, they're devotees. So another time there was a Brahmin who lived just by drinking milk, and that was considered very auspicious. And Srivas Thakur said, "Well, he must be pure." So he led him into the kirtan, and Lord Chaitanya had the same sort of response. And Lord Chaitanya said, "Do you think you become pure just by drinking milk? Can't do that." But this Brahmin apologized to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him, and he was able to attend the kirtans of Srivas Angam. Another time, one envious person named Gopal Chapala got very, very upset because he wasn't allowed in. He wanted to go to the kirtan. Fortunately, in our movement, we don't have someone at the door, you know, are you a pure devotee? Or else it would be just the deities. Even the Pujari would have to leave. So this Gopal Chapla, he was forbidden to come into the kirtan, Srivasa. And he got really angry and he thought, I'm going to make trouble for Srivasa. I'm going to create criticism. And the way you created criticism against Vaishnavas, you made it seem like they were doing something wrong, like worshiping Durga. And so he put the ingredients for the worship of Durga, like pavilion and everything like that, by Srivastava's door. And Srivastava woke up the next morning, opened his door, and saw all of these ingredients. And, you know, he didn't worry about reputation. That's a pure devotee who doesn't worry about reputation. In fact, sometimes a pure devotee in the old days would do things to ruin his reputation so that people wouldn't harass him. Like one time, Gorkhasudas Babaji Maharaj, so the people wouldn't harass him, he actually sat on the doorstep of a prostitute's house. He didn't even want Bhakti Sananta Saraswati that course. So, but you know, there was no illicit relationship, but he sat on, you know, someone sits in a doorstep, step in a prostitute's house, pretty bad. Or you have Lord Vrishabhadev doing this Jada Yoga. So anyway, Srivasa Thakur just brushed away all these ingredients for worshipping Durga, and he said, yeah, everybody knows I'm worshipping Durga, Hare Krishna. He wasn't concerned with reputation, not like Fiji, everyone's still concerned with reputation. Who cares? Who cares what people think? It's just an opportunity. People don't like you, it's an opportunity to chant Hare Krishna more. If you reject it, no, Hare Krishna. If your girlfriend or boyfriend rejects you, Hare Krishna, God. Nitai Gaur, Hare Gaur. You take shelter. So anyway, Srivastava didn't care about this. And so what happened is this Gopal Chapla committed a great offense against Srivastava, so he got leprosy. And leprosy means his nose, he had a beautiful nose, it started to melt in the fingers. And there were worms that were eating his leprous sores. And he went to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to get forgiveness. So he sent to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, please save me, your Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. You're the most munificent. Save me, Patita Pavana Hetu Tava Avatar. Isn't that Namo Shamapatita Prabhu? And Lord Chaitanya said, no, I curse you to be bitten by these same worms for millions of births. Oh my God. This is Lord Chaitanya. So that's the effect of offending a pure devotee. And so later on, of course, he got forgiven by Srivastava Thakur, because that's how you're supposed to get forgiven for your offenses. It's described that sometimes the devotee will even forgive you, but the dust of their feet won't forgive you. What does the dust of their feet mean? I'll explain that. Let's say someone committed an offense to Srila Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, I forgive you. But what's at the dust, what's at the feet of Srila Prabhupada? His followers. That's what it means, the dust of their feet. You know, dust. Not that you go to the dust and say, my particle dust, please forgive me. Dust of the feet means the people who are the devotees. So if someone committed offense against Prabhupada, it'd be very hard for me to forgive him. Isn't it? Some blessed Prabhupada would say, oh, I'm merciful. Sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't. So this person got forgiven. Another story about Srivastava Thakur is that Lord Chaitanya wanted to test Srivastava Thakur's love and devotion for Lord Nityananda. And he said to Srivastava Thakur, why do you let this avaduta in your house? Avaduta, of course, means like the by the wind or like the wind. It means someone who's just like wild. And Lord Nityananda certainly was pretty wild. He was funny. He was where, you know, he was supposed to be, well, not a sannyasi by initiation, but he was supposed to be renouncing. He was wearing jewelry all over his body, decorating his body. You know, it's just like, what's happening? So Lord Chaitanya said, why do you let him in your house? Nobody knows where he came from. Nobody knows his heritage or his varna or anything like that. And Srivas Thakur, to prove to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu his devotion to Lord Nityananda, said, even if Nitai goes into a liquor store, takes a kava, didn't say that, goes into a liquor store, or even if he marries a Muslim girl, I will still not give up my devotion to him. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And let's see, one other story we have time for. Okay, so Srivas, Srivas Thakur and, oh yeah, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu one time was just like acting with complete abandon, Divyamata, transcendental madness, and the doctors had diagnosed Lord Chaitanya as having a wind disorder. You know, anyway, the life air is prana, all the pranas are not in balance. That's what it basically means. And Srivas Thakur said, no, he's experiencing pure love of God. And then the final story is about Srivas Thakur and Devananda Pandit. Devananda Pandit was a great Bhagavat reciter. And Srivas Thakur one time walked by Devananda Pandit's Bhagavatam class. And what happened is that he fell into ecstasy, started rolling on the ground in ecstasy. And Devananda Pandit's disciples just threw Srivas Thakur out. And Devananda Pandit didn't say anything. So later on, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was walking by Devananda Pandit's Bhagavatam class, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu yelled out, this Devananda Pandit will never understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. Not in a million years. And Devananda Pandit tolerated that. So later on, Devananda Pandit did some service to another one of Lord Chaitanya's devotees, Prakeshwara Pandit. Prakeshwara Pandit was the one who danced for 72 hours without stopping. Lord Chaitanya said that if he had two devotees like Prakeshwara Pandit, and Prakeshwara Pandit was like a wing, then he could fly in the air. So Prakeshwara Pandit was dancing wildly, and Devananda Pandit sort of protected him by forming a circle around Prakeshwara Pandit. And then later on, Devananda Pandit apologized to Srivas Thakur, and he got pure love of Godhead. So Srivas Thakur's appearance day it is today, and we are remembering his great devotion for Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and praying for the mercy of his lotus feet. So, any questions or comments? Trying to do the details, actually. Yes. Yeah. You know, affirmations means, you know, there's positive things you say about yourself. I am wonderful. I am blissful. Nobody, Ishwaraham Mahamrodhi, Siddhaham Bhagavan Sukhi. I am perfect. I am powerful. I am happy. Just like I was talking to one ISKCON guru one time, not me. And I said, did you ever make a mistake your whole life? And he says, no. He said, well, I made only one mistake my whole life. I thought I made a mistake. That was the mistake I made. He was joking. No one was that proud. So it's an interesting question of humility. So the way I answer it is, to understand our true nature and our relationship with Krishna. Because otherwise, if you're simply, if you're making a good point, if you simply get into the negative, you know, I'm just like 1/10,000th tip of the hair, insignificant, fallen, I'm a worm in stool. It's kind of depressing. So what I say is that I'm a spirit soul. I haven't realized it yet. But I'm a spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna loves me. I once actually wrote an article on Dandavats that love yourself. Some of you read that article. I got criticized by half the devotees in the Hare Krishna movement. Love yourself. Because the interesting thing is we're supposed to love everybody, and some devotees say we're supposed to love everybody except for ourselves. But we are also part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna loves us. We're very dear to Krishna. It's a very positive thing. Krishna wants me back with him like that. And, you know, whatever, so I'm fallen. It doesn't bother me. Because it gives me an opportunity to actually cry out in humility to Krishna. I need that opportunity. And if I think I'm something good, important, God's gift to the Hare Krishna movement. Yes, I appear just to assist Prabhupada. And without me, Prabhupada's movement, how could it go forward? You know, I'm the one on the GBC who really knows everything. How can I chant Trinada Purisa Vichyana Purari Vasa Vishnu? So to me, it doesn't matter if someone says I'm fallen. It's not a depressing thing. It's actually an ecstatic thing. Because then I get first claim. Patita Bhavana Hetu Tava Avatar. Okay. So we have to do that.